a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. NFL Conference Championship Weekend, Friday, January 26th of 2024. I'm Paul Gallant. This is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can jump aboard by phone, by text, on YouTube.com, at ESPN Houston, also on Twitch. I'm not forgetting about the Twitchers, those toxic sons of biscuits. So, big news for your Houston sports today is that it looks like the Houston Texans band is staying together, for the most part, for at least another year. Why? Because there were a couple of coaching hirings yesterday that did not involve Texans offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick. The Atlanta Falcons are hiring former Bucs head coach Raheem Morris. He was most recently the Rams defensive coordinator. The Falcons interviewed Bobby Slowick a couple of times. More on that in a bit. The Panthers, we discussed this yesterday, hired quarterback coach of the Bucs, Dave Canales. The Chargers hired Jim Harbaugh. Only two teams do not have head coaches right now. The Washington Commanders, who have interviewed Bobby Slowick, but it does feel like they are waiting it out for Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. They're also interviewing Dan Quinn next week. And meanwhile, with the Seahawks, we haven't heard a lot, but it also feels like they will eventually hire Dan Quinn. Makes the most sense, especially if they're keeping Pete Carroll around in an advisory role, because Dan Quinn used to be the defensive coordinator of the Seahawks. So, for better or for worse, there is a very strong possibility that the Houston Texans are going to have Slowick in 2024, which is surprising because right after we got off the air, we saw that Bobby Slowick had met with Falcons owner Arthur Blank, CEO Rich McKay, and general manager Terry Fontenot of the Falcons at Arthur Blank's home. Because he'd really impressed the Falcons in his interview that he did with them on Sunday. Okay, so Zoom interview on Sunday, in-home visit on Thursday. I mean, what happened? Right? Isn't that a fair question to wonder? It seems like he was on the goal line. And then the Falcons hired Raheem Morris. It does feel out of left field. Sean Mapes, behind the glass, producer of the Paul Gallant Show. I think it's very fair to wonder what the hell happened at the home of Arthur Blank.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is it better? What's the best case scenario? That they really did like him? Because it's worth mentioning that Atlanta Falcons interviewed everyone twice. So
right.
They're open door policy.
Very open door. Open leg, some would say.
So is it better that they're like, you know what, let's just talk to Bobby Slowick a second time. Like, whatever. In the back of their mind, the entire interview, they're like, we're probably going to hire Raheem Morris in 30 minutes anyway. Or is it better that he had a legitimate shot up until that last meeting and he absolutely blew it and they're like, oh my God, let's hire the Rams defensive coordinator.
I wonder if it's the latter. I'm hoping it's the former. Mainly for Bobby Slowick. We wish Bobby Slowick well.
And that's the funny situation, is that you hope that it was like, we can't cancel on the kid. He's already on this flight. Like it's an obligatory, like, okay, we'll hear him out. But, yeah, I don't know. But It seems like a good thing for the Texans that A, he was in demand, and B, that the Texans will keep him.
Totally agree. I like to have some semblance of continuity. Curious as to what the conspiracy theories might be for why Bobby Slowick, clearly at the 1 yard line, basically went Russell Wilson to Malcolm Butler in Arthur Blank's home. I like to speculate. We're not going to say that something happened factually, but we can wonder because we are in the speculation game and the being dumb idiots game. But also something to keep in mind, Jerod Johnson, the Texans quarterback coach, is interviewing with the Pittsburgh Steelers today for their vacant offensive coordinator position. He has already interviewed for the Patriots offensive coordinator job. I would not mind that at all. The Saints offensive coordinator job, the Browns offensive coordinator job, and the Eagles offensive coordinator job. Something to keep in mind for Johnson as a quarterback coach. You want to go to a situation where there's upside so that you can go from being an offensive coordinator to a head coach, or to a place where you're not going to get flushed down the toilet with the head coach when he gets fired. So,
avoid Philadelphia.
100%, Sean. That's the number one thing. Don't go to Philly. Only bad things can happen in Philly. Eagles fans will turn on you in a heartbeat. They've turned on just about everyone that has ever played or coached in that organization, no matter the success. Andy Reid, Donovan McNabb, Doug Peterson. It goes on and on and on. Carson Wentz. Although Carson Wentz, you understand it. Nick Foles, they turned on him before he came back and then ultimately won a Super Bowl with them. Like, they turn on everybody in that town of obnoxious, cantankerous Philadelphians and South Jerseyans. And I'm part of, that's part me by blood. Like, I get those people.
Yeah, it does feel like Jerod Johnson was always going to get an OC job this offseason. It was just a question of, is he going to leave? Or if Bobby Slowick gets a head coach, would he get promoted? And so, yes, between these jobs, I mean, it makes sense that none of these offensive coordinator openings are that attractive, because I think all of them fired their offensive coordinator.
That's the interesting element here, is that either there was a parting of ways, and we say that in quotation marks, or it was implied heavily, hey, leave.
But like, the Bengals job isn't open. They promoted internally. I guess maybe the Bucks, but he hasn't interviewed yet for it. I'm just trying to think of which OC's got a head coaching job. Maybe those are the better jobs, because you just saw the last guy get promoted.
Well, let's just focus on the ones that we know he's interviewed for. So Eagles, Steelers today. Mike Tomlin might not be long for the Steelers. Obviously, there were rumors about his future this offseason. Is he going to stay in Pittsburgh forever? Would you want to go as a coordinator to a situation where the coach might be gone? Like Kellen Moore, for example, Chargers offensive coordinator who left the Cowboys to go there, and then he goes there and he finds out, oh, Brandon Staley's an idiot. Damn it, I'm screwed. So, I mean, he's getting interviewed right now. So I don't think the Steelers is great. I'd also point to the Saints in the same exact situation. Who are they getting at quarterback? If you're Jerod Johnson, would you want to work with Derek Carr? If you're Jerod Johnson, do you feel like Dennis Allen is long for the New Orleans Saints? Like, that's kind of one of the more surprising non-firings that we've seen. And I get it. The Saints did decent this year, but they didn't do well either. And they're in a terrible cap situation going forward. I mean, take a look at it. They've literally been $88 million over the cap per most cap websites, which is insane.
They've been in a terrible cap situation for 12 years.
It's incredible, Sean. I mean, they run their budget worse than the state of Louisiana runs its budget, which is also really saying something. That is factual. If we're talking like just about percentages and stuff, there's the Browns situation. But would you want to go up to the Cleveland Browns, who, okay, I mean, they had a really good year, all things considered, with a bunch of quarterbacks. But do you want to be tied to the success of Deshaun Watson, who maybe isn't the same guy that he used to be?
And beyond that, this is the only offensive coordinator opening that he's interviewed for that I don't think he would call the plays. I think Kevin Stefanski would still call the plays.
Probably right.
Eagles, famously, Nick Sirianni does not call plays. Tomlin obviously doesn't. Jerod Mayo's defensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Dennis Allen. So this is the one where you have an offensive coach above you. I guess Nick Sirianni is an offensive coach as well, but you're not going to call the plays in Cleveland. So as far as the upward mobility goes for your coaching career, not being a play caller, I mean, I guess Bobby Slowick wasn't a play caller until he became an offensive coordinator. Then he was. You know, it's only the Mike McDaniels and Callahan.
Brian Callahan.
Brian Callahan. So you have to work for a McVay, a Shanahan guy. I'm not sure if Stefanski has that rub, you know?
I agree with you there. So Browns doesn't look like a great spot either. The Patriots is the one option for Gerard Johnson among teams he has interviewed for.
Because they're bad enough to where they're going to draft a
quarterback. They're going to draft a quarterback, and he, you would think, Sean, is going to have more offensive autonomy because it does feel like they are moving on from everybody. They basically told Bill O'Brien, yeah, just leave. That's why he took the offensive coordinator job at Ohio State. That is a lateral move to become an offensive coordinator at college after being an offensive coordinator in the NFL. So with that in mind, here's what I will say about the Patriots job. You are going to have Gerard Johnson, and I'm being selfish here. Yes, I'm being selfish for the city of Houston because I'm on the bandwagon, baby. You will have the third choice at quarterback. Now, you could get it right. Obviously, the Texans got it right with the second choice at quarterback over Bryce Young, but you have the third choice. The odds of you working with Caleb Williams, practically zero. The odds of you working with Jaden Daniels from LSU, I think right now with the way that those mocks are looking, that's probably unlikely as well. So, Drake May from North Carolina, do you want to be tied to the next Mitchell Trubisky? Now, he could be better than Mitchell Trubisky, but I'm just going to be school cyst against all quarterbacks from North Carolina. Drake May, do you trust that?
Yeah, just like Ohio State quarterbacks never work out.
Right, except
neither do North Carolina quarterbacks.
Exactly. Until they finally do work out.
Yes.
So I would say the same thing about Caleb Williams at USC, but yeah. Hey.
And LSU quarterback.
Well.
Oh, no.
Joe Burrow, baby.
Okay, but Joe Burrow.
But before that, yes, you're right.
Burrow had to beat the Matt Flynn allegation.
It's so fun to be stupid with school school system. It doesn't make any sense, but there's so few good quarterbacks.
Yes, that's the thing. Is that most quarterback draft picks don't work out.
But it's fun to do it anyway.
So using the school against them is just circular logic.
Exactly, but it's fun to be nonsensical and stupid when we're talking about sports. Speaking of, up next, how did Bobby Slowick bleep it up in Arthur Blank's home? What did he do? What are the things you can't do when visiting somebody else's home? 713-780-3776 to call in or text, and you can join us on our YouTube channel at ESPN Houston or on Twitch. Let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Two conference championship games this weekend. The Chiefs are 4-point dogs on the road against the Ravens. The closer I get to this game, the more I am actually feeling the Baltimore Ravens here. Sorry, because I think I said yesterday, yeah, you got to hammer the Ravens here. Excuse me, you got to hammer the Chiefs here. It's Patrick Mahomes. Joe Tooney, the Chiefs offensive lineman who is arguably the anchor of that offensive line, that's making me feel a little bit different. As far as Lions and 49ers, I still think 7 is way too much. But, hey, I'm going to give you a prop. I'll give you some more props in our Pick 6 segment at 11:15. Lamar Jackson, over rushing yards, 66.5. Josh Allen had 12 carries for 72 yards and two touchdowns against the Chiefs on Sunday. And if you watch that game, it never looked like the Chiefs understood how to contain him. It's going to be worse against Lamar Jackson. I think Jackson's going to run for a lot of yards on Sunday in the AFC Championship game. You can bet on that and more at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. They've got casino games as well with live dealers, and you get an awesome deposit bonus when you sign up with mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dracula Flow.
I'm Dracula. I'm 12 million years old. I have more perks than there are stars in the Leo cluster.
Live from the Veritex
Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Texans offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick had an in-home meeting with Arthur Blank, owner of the Atlanta Falcons, yesterday. Hours later, the Falcons chose to hire Raheem Morris, former head coach with the Bucs, most recently defensive coordinator with the Rams. It means that Bobby Slowick is likely the Texans offensive coordinator this coming season. I do want wrong answers only on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston when it comes to what the hell might have happened where Slowick didn't get the gig. But I think I know the answer here. I think Bobby Slowick was too honest. If you've listened to Bobby Slowick over the course of the year, I will give him a lot of credit for this. He is a guy who has talked about how he's not always 100% sure of what he's doing. And guess what? Anyone who's a first-time offensive coordinator, that is 100% the case. And we heard it most recently from Bobby in the week leading up to the Texans season-ending loss against the Baltimore Ravens. Here he is, I think, just being perhaps a little bit too transparent for his own good.
I don't think you ever fully get comfortable. You know, there's always a little bit of some urgency, some making sure you're crossing all your T's, dotting all your I's, all that good stuff. I don't think you're ever fully there, but I think what really makes you confident is when you just have complete faith and belief in the group you're coaching. That, like, really, really, I feel like we could roll out there and I could call anything and they are going to find a way to make it work, you know, and that's really what's been fun. That's what's been empowering. They're all in on what we want to do. I mean, it's the offensive group and kind of where we are right now is I think they're playing really good football. And they're all kind of special people. We've come a long way all the way across the board. We've had a lot of people in and out through the season and really everyone's just bought into continuing to get better. And now, you know, as coaches, we kind of sit back and we watch, and it's entirely a player-led offense, and they just go out and they play awesome football. It's been fun to be a part of.
That first part, you hear a guy who's being 100% honest, which should be appreciated, but in a job interview setting, is that ever appreciated? I mean, we all lie on our resumes. We all lie on anything. Our first date. You want to sound 100% confident, even if you don't know what you're 100% confident in. I think Bobby Slowick was probably very transparent and honest with Arthur Blank, and I bet that that worked against him, just based off of a lot of the comments that he has made this year. And I respect him for being that honest, that open. So that's my guess. Again, I was not there. I do not know anything about what happened there.
Yeah, and it is interesting that both and when DJ's been in here, he's talked about it. Even we've talked about it just hearing CJ Stroud talk, that CJ Stroud feels like he goes out of his way to actually give thoughtful, good answers, where, I mean, most players, especially most quarterbacks, are trying to do the opposite. They're just trying to feed you bleep, keep you in the dark. Same thing with coaches, and it is interesting that both Bobby Slowick and CJ Stroud feel like, it seem like they're just very open with, maybe that's, you know, they're both rookies with a lot of success, so they haven't been, like, burned by the media, or they haven't been burned by, you know, feeling any pushback or doubt about what they're doing. But they both all go, like, I mean, remember Bobby Slowick in the, was the Bengals game with the 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1, whatever it was, where he threw a deep shot. No, it was a 4th-and-1. They threw a deep shot. He was like, it was the worst play call of my entire career. Like,
yeah.
He just got up on the podium the next day and 100% wore it.
And I like that about him.
Yes, I think as fans, as obviously people who cover the team, that is a commendable thing.
But when you're hiring somebody,
it is not commendable whatsoever.
Exactly.
Tell me what I want to hear, Bobby Slowick. We will give you the job.
But with that in mind, that's what we think happened. I want to hear what you guys think happened. Wrong answers only, because, I mean, there's lots of things that you could potentially do at someone's house.
I mean, it's staying in the AFC South, and this wasn't a coach doing something wrong in an owner's house. This was an owner maybe doing something wrong in a coach's house when Jim Irsay was visiting with Josh McDaniels and his family and spent over an hour in the bathroom.
I mean, I bet McDaniels, when he was meeting with Ursa, was like, oh, my God, I can't do this. And everyone dumped on McDaniels for, like, backing out on the Colts at the last second. I loved it, first off, because it's another victory for the Patriots over the Colts. But second, because, I mean, if you met with Jim Irsay for a while, would you be a little bit, I don't know, nervous about the uncertainty of your future? Especially with, you know, what's been going on that we don't know about for the last 2 months.
The only thing is that I don't know how it got to the point where he had to back out at the last minute. I don't know why he didn't back out after the first 30-minute conversation
revenge,
he had with him.
Revenge. Vengeance.
For what?
For Tom Brady being slandered by an inferior organization.
Okay.
What?
I know, because when I think of Patriots-Colts, I think of the Patriots winning all the time. So
when I think
them,
of Patriots
them
Colts,
getting revenge, I'm just like, well, I don't know what they need revenge
They haven't salted the earth for those losers. Raise another banner for finishing third in the AFC South, you bozo organization. I like Jim Irsay, too, but I hate that organization. I hate their fans. I hate that city. I hope we should sell it to Canada for 3 cents. You know? Anyway, hey, bringing it back. Because we want to stay on topic. A couple of people have suggested this from the 281. Maybe Slowick took a fat dump at Blank's house like he did in Baltimore. That's pretty funny. Another one. This is on the YouTube at ESPN Houston. Slowick clogged the toilet at Arthur Blank's home. How many of you guys have seen Along Came Polly? Ben Stiller has weirdly been in a lot of scenes in movie history where bad things happen while he is visiting somebody else's home. Along Came Polly, great movie. One of Philip Seymour Hoffman's best performances. But they go eat Indian food. And then let's just say that Ben Stiller's got a little IBS.
Oh, God, I beg you, please. If you make this water go down, I will sit at your feet and I will serve you for all of eternity.
Has anyone ever clogged the toilet when going to another person's house? Not going to lie. When I was a little kid, because I used way too much toilet paper, we used to go to our family friends, the Salvucci's house, all the time, and I used to clog their toilet all the time. And it had nothing to do with, like, the, you know, what I was dropping off. I was a small child.
All
it was
100%
it was the toilet paper. Yeah, 100%. They had an old house, and this happened like 4 or 5 times.
Oh my God. I was going to ask how many times is all the time.
It was, four or five times is a lot. Yeah, I should have learned better, but, you know, I was stupid. I used to use a lot of TP. It's because of that old crappy toilet paper. Like, people, you got to step your game up. The worst is when you go to somebody's house and they have the really crappy, like, sandpaper toilet paper that's, like, essentially, like, your fingers are going to go through it immediately because it's so thin.
The ones that, like, only public restrooms use?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you know this is your house, right?
You can spend a little. It's not that much more. Now, unless you're going all the time or I guess, like, a natural disaster is happening where everyone feels the need to rush and get all the toilet paper. Morris Ramirez commented on YouTube. He probably wanted full control and was shown the door. Honestly, I feel like he probably didn't want enough control just based off of everything we've heard about Slowick to this point in time.
It'd be very funny if they asked him, like, so a lot of questions about our quarterback position. We're not sure. What do you think about our quarterback position? He's like, sure, whatever. Yeah, give me Desmond Ridder. And the Atlanta Falcons look at each other like, oh, my God. That wrong answer, buddy. That's our little sniff test of if you know balls, how much you don't want Desmond Ridder as your quarterback.
Right, exactly. If you had like a plan to make Desmond Ridder work, like, yeah. I would kick you out of the house immediately.
Get out of here.
From the 409, Bobby lost the job when he pulled up the video of the Super Bowl against the Patriots and told Blank what he would have done different. I mean, literally all he would have to say is stop trying to throw the ball and kick the field goal to go up for 2 scores. That's all they had to do.
Just run it.
That catch by Julio Jones. The game was over. Like, yeah. It was over. Those idiots.
I was going to say, the only two plays that they should have run and that Bobby Slowick should have told him that he was going to run.
Right.
I would have run the ball and thrown it to Julio Jones. That's it. First and second down, run up the middle. Third down, throw it to Julio Jones. It would have been more successful.
From the 832, Slowick said he didn't like Magic City wings. That is a controversial take to have in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Arthur Blank is eating Magic City wings. I don't know about that. I feel like rich people don't eat wings because it gets too, like, on their hands.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's just what rich people want us to think, that they're better than us, that they don't get their hands dirty when they eat. Maybe maybe in their, you know, shadowy parties, they're doing other stuff. But one of them is a lot of finger food, a lot of messy food.
Speaking of messy, Sean, we're getting a lot of terminology for that terrible toilet paper I was just highlighting. From the 832 and the 409, it's called John Wayne toilet paper.
Oh, yeah.
Rough as hell and doesn't take bleep off anyone. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty funny. I like that one. More comments. Chris from Sam Houston. He picked his nose. Picking your nose isn't great, but that's not a deal breaker. I mean, I pick my nose a lot on the air. It's like a nervous habit that I have.
You mean to tell me that Arthur Smith never picked his nose in front of Arthur Blank? That doesn't.
Arthur Smith does look like a nose picker.
That doesn't disqualify you.
The Urge from Bel Air says he had the relations with Arthur Blank's wife. All right. I mean, you would have to be the smoothest person ever to even find yourself in a situation where you could pull that off.
How old is Arthur Blank's wife?
I'm also, yeah, because Bobby Slowick's like 36 years old, you know? So there's that as well. It would be pretty funny if he had another one of those Ben Stiller disasters. Have you guys seen, how am I forgetting this movie name? With Cameron Diaz. Probably.
Oh, there's something.
There's something about Mary. There's something about Mary. There's a really funny scene where on a prom date, Ben Stiller's character goes to the bathroom and he has some zipper issues.
What's that bubble there?
What do you think? It's a...
Well, how the hell did you get the beans above the Frank? I mean...
Frank and beans, to refer to your privates. What an all-time line. Love that guy who plays the father in that movie. He's, I think, the voice of the president in Rick and Morty. Fun facts, everybody. What else do we have here? Wrong answers only as far as why this in-home meeting did not work out. I think most people are going to guess, like, flatulence or, you know, dropping the kids off. Not taking off your shoes. Is Arthur Blank, like, one of those guys who's, like, really big into Japanese culture at home? You know, they don't have chairs. So you got to sit at home and you got to walk around barefoot.
Arthur Blank, Terry Fontenot.
They're all in Bobby kimonos. Slocker,
and they're sitting crisscross applesauce on the floor. And they all have all these packets about like what kind of offense they're going to run.
Right.
The defensive coordinator hire that Bobby Slocker's looking for, and it's all spread across the table.
It would be really funny if Blank was in the middle of like a Japan phase where, yeah, kimono, they're sitting, as you're saying, like down on the floor, and it's because he watched like Tokyo Vice or something like that. He's like getting the grocery store sushi. I had a phase
like that.
Oh,
yeah. They're not like even getting nice sushi.
Yeah, he's just like, you know, we're just dabbling.
They're going
HEB
or whatever their HEB sushi is.
Mm-hmm. There you go, guys. He lost Arthur Blank's cat. That would be another unfortunate situation that happened to Ben Stiller in a movie. And meet the parents. Really, that's like Ben Stiller's calling card is awkward humor while visiting somebody else's house.
Yeah. Yeah, with a very attractive, like while he's dating a very attractive woman.
Right, yeah, smoking cigarettes or something like that. Yeah. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Let's talk about conference championship weekend next, some injury updates, and how a Houston Texan was robbed. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. Oh, it's you people.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
Huh? We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Couple of things to touch on before conference championship weekend. The city of Detroit is all in on Jared Goff. One, because all of a sudden, he's become funny. Did anyone catch this other exchange that he had with Detroit media when asked about the weapons that the 49ers have compared to the Lions?
Jared Goff's got a lot of really good players, obviously, but maybe not.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
I said thank you.
You are. Maybe not viewed, though, as the superstars like the 49ers have.
All right, never mind.
But I mean, guys like St. Brown and getting you.
Yep, St. Brown was first team All Pro. So.
Right, right.
So was Panay. Sorry, continue. I'm sorry.
I'm very happy for Jared Goff. The Lions have so many feel good stories going on, but Jared Goff could be the fifth quarterback in NFL history to lead two teams to Super Bowls. Obviously, that happens if you've had some issues in your previous stop, but Goff was essentially left on the side of the road by supposed genius Sean McVay, and he was treated horribly at the end of his time in LA. That is on record. You can find articles about it. So I'm very happy, Sean Mapes, for Jared Goff to have a Goffessance.
Yes, of course, the Goffessance. I'm trying to think of who the other... for two teams to the Super
Kurt
Bowl.
Kurt Warner is one.
Kurt Warner, Brady,
yeah.
Manning.
Yeah.
Peyton, that is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who the other one is.
I'm going to...
I didn't have Kurt Warner.
I'm going to guess it was like Earl Morrill, who I think did it with the 72 Dolphins and the Baltimore Colts. I could be wrong on that front, but that is my guess.
I'll do the research.
If I'm right, God dang it, am I the greatest football mind in this city? Move over, McLean. You're the general. I am the commander in chief, bitch. Okay. Also, talking about Jared Goff, people are so high on Jared Goff in Detroit that in the middle of a Red Wings game, this happened. And, I mean, this is a hockey game. They're distracted. Hell yeah. Jared Goff, baby. So that's pretty cool to see. The Lions are fun. The Ravens want respect. We will see what happens in both of Sunday's games.
It was Craig Morton.
Damn it! Oh, I was now he was Cowboys and
he then lost to the Cowboys.
Was he Colts?
No.
Chiefs?
No. Team that I mean
Raiders. Damn it!
Right division. AFC West?
Broncos?
Yeah.
He was a Broncos quarterback?
Denver Broncos, yeah.
Damn,
I thought he lost to the Cowboys in 1977.
I thought I had it with Earl Morrill.
So yeah. He lost as a Cowboys quarterback to Johnny Unitas and the Colts.
Oh.
And then he lost against the Cowboys 7 years later.
So, just a Super Bowl loser. What a legacy.
But hey, he took two teams
he did
there.
He took two teams to the Super Bowl. That is crazy. It just didn't happen for a really long time. Craig Morton, that is a name I did not think I would hear today. Thank you for getting that. I do like random NFL pieces of trivia like that. Continuing to go around the NFL Conference Championship weekend, I think any Texas fans and anti-Aggie fans will appreciate this comment by Kyle Shanahan when asked about fans at the bell bottom.
Man, how important is a 12th man going to be on Sunday?
What's that?
The 12th man, how important is a 12th man going to be on Sunday?
We don't call him the 12th man here. but our crowd's very important. Our crowd, I think, is the best in football.
Okay, relax on that one. But they do travel pretty well. They're a sleeping giant as far as insufferable fan bases. And shout out to Kyle Shanahan, who, of course, a UT guy, so he hates the 12th man already. But as a 49ers coach, he also hates the 12th man that the Seahawks have to buy the rights to from Texas A&M. How about that? Another Seattle-Texas tie from your boy, Paul Gallant, Mr. Texas, Mr. Seattle.
That was a detail. I knew that he was a Texas Longhorn, but I did not put all the pieces together until Lance did it for me this
right.
morning.
I saw it with Lance's tweet. That's how yeah. I got to this.
Well, because, yeah, Longhorn versus Aggie and Dan Campbell and Aggie defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn. So it really is.
Wow. So this is this. You're wearing your UT shirt. So you're rooting for the 49ers this weekend.
I told him. I was like, well, I was kind of planning to rooting for the Lions until this second that you've laid that all that out.
I like it. I like it, Sean. I like the pettiness. That's great. Continuing to look at conference championship weekend, here are the injuries. The Joe Tooney injury with a strained pectoral, he is unlikely to play for the Chiefs. We saw what the Ravens' interior defensive line did to the Texans on Sunday. That is a big concern, and I am wavering when it comes to picking the Kansas City Chiefs. The more and more I hear about people talking about Joe Tooney, it's like they're basically going to be without their second best player to Patrick Mahomes, the way it's being discussed. Anyway, We'll see. I'm still having a hard time picking against Mahomes. Good news for the Chiefs. Kadarius Toney downgraded at practice. You do not want to see Kadarius Toney on the field. Kadarius Toney losing the game for the Chiefs is definitely on the table if he plays. For the Ravens, Marlon Humphrey, he might be back. Their cornerback. Mark Andrews full practice again for Baltimore. He had a couple before the Texans. They waived a player to open up a roster spot, so he might be back. Meanwhile, Deebo Samuel was limited in practice yesterday for San Francisco. 49ers are encouraged that he will be able to play. Two quick thoughts before we move on to our next segment that has to do with conference championship weekend. We're going to be playing some fight songs, baby. Nick Caserio was robbed. And I know the Pro Football Writers Association Awards is different than the Associated Press Awards, but maybe the Pro Football Writers Association Awards should matter more. But Lions executive Brad Holmes, not Nick Caserio, is the Pro Football Writers Association Executive of the Year. Man, I got a bone to pick with DJ Bien-Aimé for putting the Patriot way down. Nick Caserio brought the Patriot way here to Houston. He's not getting enough credit for it, and he should be Executive of the Year, Sean Mapes.
Yes, just like the U.S. president is 100% responsible for everything that's going on with the economy.
Yep.
So is the president of the Houston chapter of the Pro Football Writers Association responsible for everyone who wins an award. So, yes. DJ, Mr. President, you will have to answer for your crimes.
Sir. Why didn't Nick Caserio get Executive of the Year? Sir, why? Why do you believe that Lamar Jackson is a better passer than C.J. Stroud, sir?
Sir, did you authorize that strike against Nick Caserio? Is there any evidence of Brad Holmes getting weapons for Jared Goff?
Ooh, yeah. Honestly, it doesn't seem like he's done enough.
No.
I mean, although he did get Sam Laporta.
And, yeah.
And Jahmyr Gibbs. And that actually worked out. He has done a great job, Brad Holmes, this year.
Yeah. Same thing with Dan Campbell maybe winning Coach of the Year. It's like, well, yeah.
Yeah, you get
I can
it.
See it.
I can see it, too. The Jaguars. Speaking of executives, I love hearing this. I want all the Jaguars fans who always get in my comments on my socials. I want them to see this. Trent Baalke on an extension for Trevor Lawrence. Quote, I think Trevor had another learning year. That's one way to put it, with all the fumbles and all the turnovers. Baalke says four injuries in 2023 are alarming, but Lawrence is their long-term quarterback. Quote, we're going to get something done at the appropriate time. Are they, though? I don't know. If you're the Jaguars and you got Trevor Lawrence, you got to be wondering right now.
Were you waiting for me?
No. I'm just leaving that pause out there. So that Jaguar fans have to think long and hard about their own football mortality and about how they are, one, before the team moves to London, going to suck. And then, two, they're going to move to London.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
Bring back Urban Meyer.
If you're a Jags fan, just throw yourself into the Florida football season this year. No, wait. Don't do that.
Who will have more wins? The Gators in the SEC that has now added Texas and Oklahoma, or the Jacksonville Jaguars? Gators play less games. Gators suck, but
I think the Jags.
I don't know. They blew down the stretch. Take a look at what the Titans did last year and how they just fell apart down the stretch, and it kind of carried over into this year. I mean, the Jaguars, what they did, and the fact that they really didn't do much of anything as far as accountability is insane. It really is. And I get it. Like, Doug Peterson's the head coach. Oh, he's better than Urban Meyer. But, I mean, they had huge expectations. They went from 8-3 to 9-8 and missing the playoffs.
Can the Jags get to 5 wins? That's the question. And beat the Florida Gators, who are going to
be. Can the Jaguars beat the Gators?
They're going to be in 5-4 wins is what I'm putting the Gators at.
I think the Jags will have more, but something to keep in mind.
Yeah, but they play 5 more games.
He is Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Of all the fan bases playing this weekend, which fan base would be the most fun one to be a part of? We're going to play some fight songs for you to help you figure that out. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN975.com. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
We're back into an extra-large show that fits into a medium time slot. Here's your perfectly sized host, Paul Gallant, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Someone on YouTube went back to that video of me last Friday doing my pump-up, wearing my Texans hoodie tank top, You know what they said? They said, you can't be an all-district safety because your arms are too small. And I'm not going to lie, that really hurt my feelings. It really hurt my feelings to the point where I'm going to the gym right after the show to work on my arms. Curls get girls, Sean, allegedly.
That's what I've heard.
Work on the glamour muscles.
I could definitely see you getting into, what's the, like, testosterone?
Steroids? Oh.
Like the testosterone replacement that older
Eugenics.
Guys take? Yeah.
Fellas, she's going to love it too.
Yeah, you take the, not steroids, but, you know, enough.
I'd be nervous that that stuff would just give me a pants tent, like walking around all the time. You know, like I'm Michael Scott's character in the 40-year-old virgin, and I feel the need to make a phone call to say, like, hey, this has been 40 hours. What do we do? What do we do?
Is that a side effect? Because actual steroids, it's the opposite,
right? It's supposed, yeah.
So I don't know what the I don't know what the Nugenics is.
Good question.
Well, is Nugenics? No, that's all testosterone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
I could see you, you know, 40, 45, being like, you know what, I need a little bit of extra edge to keep up in these streets.
But you know what? I'm going to pretend that I don't, because I applied for The Bachelor and everything's going to be okay.
Oh, then yeah. Your shot at love is still.
Yeah, but I might need to do some steroids before I go on. A little trend, dye my hair, dye my beard.
Yeah, I was going to say, the beard definitely is going to
It would be funny if I came in one day and just looked like so Coach K'd out, where I'm so, like, it's just jet black. Like, I've just, like, dipped my head in motor oil.
I think that's the way you have to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do the, like
piece, slightly brown.
Or, like, piece by piece over, you know, weeks of, like...
I've never done it.
From where you are now, which isn't bad, but to...
There's a lot of gray, though.
Yeah, but you can't go, like, slightly darker.
Yeah.
Slightly dark. Like, I think you just have to go all in
just
and
full
just...
full jet black.
And just force people to be the ones to bring it up.
I'll be like, I've always been like this.
Yeah, what are you talking
about?
How
dare you? And then just gaslight people?
Yeah, and then pull up pictures from when you're like 25.
That would be really funny, actually.
pull up pictures of you in Seattle.
That would be so funny. All my dating app pictures are just like super old. I would love that. Okay. Guys, who would it be most fun to be a fan of this weekend? If you've listened to this show enough, and apologies to the online stream because you're probably not going to be able to hear this, so maybe go to your radio at this moment in time, because we have some limitations as far as
or go
the
to
music.
The app.
Yeah.
ESPN.com Houston app, or ESPN 97.5 Houston app.
We do have an app, and we have a YouTube at ESPN Houston, and we have a Twitch, which we're not supposed to promote. I don't know.
Yeah, you also
on.
Will not hear it on the Twitch.
Yeah, you won't. You can't. It's a shame. It's really annoying. But, hey, there's a lot of great fight songs in the NFL. Now, the Ravens have co-opted this song by the White Stripes. This is technically their official fight song, even though it isn't. It sounds like this.
Yeah, I mean, every team does this.
But the Ravens seem to believe that this is theirs above everyone's.
The Miami Heat played this song, like, in 2006. Like, what are we talking about?
But that was almost 20 years ago now. How many people have that kind of memory?
I'm just saying the White Stripes better be from Baltimore.
Okay.
Or Maryland.
And I don't know off the top of my head. I'm
no
skeptical about that.
Yeah.
And essentially, it just turns into a... Oh, 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 oh. So that's a fun chant to do with a bunch of people. But there's, you know...
Again, every team has done this.
That is a good point. So the Ravens have an actual fight song, Sean. I found this. It's not great. It's not great. I don't even know what the lyrics are to this fight song. I looked it up. It was difficult to find. You can try it, but this is from the Ravens official YouTube channel. This is the Baltimore fight song.
R.
R.
A.
A.
V.
Where are they spelled?
E.
Ray.
It's kind of a copy of the Eagles. They're copying the Eagles. It's like a slow copy of the Eagles. What? All right, this is a rip-off of the Eagles fight song. Now, this is canceled.
I can see why they stole the actual song.
Yeah. That is literally the Eagles fight song, but it's not as cool. They even spelled out the team name at the beginning, but in a very slow and not fun way.
Yeah, you have to hand it to Philly.
Yeah.
Sometimes they misspell it, but at least they get through the spelling fast.
Yeah, exactly. And they mispronounce the word Eagles and say Eagles at the very end. Look, the Ravens, do they have cool uniforms? Yes. Do they have Lamar Jackson? Yes. Do some Ravens fans wear these awesome, like, camo pants that are the blend of all the Ravens colors? Yes. Like, there are cool elements to being a Ravens fan, and you got history. You do have to look the other way when it comes to, you know, Ray Rice, Ray Lewis, and Terrell Suggs. So that is perhaps unfortunate, but you do have two Super Bowls since 2000. And that's pretty cool. Not many teams can say that. So being a Ravens fan would be fun, but I'm not a real big fan of their in-game traditions. I don't know if we can play this one without getting canceled, but this is what the Kansas City Chiefs, very original fan base, do during their games. The Chiefs version. Taylor Swift is co-signing this. Just saying. Taylor Swift thinks this is good. Taylor Swift hates Native Americans. Florida State does this.
Yeah.
The Braves do this.
It's disgusting to me that the Kansas City Chiefs are stealing history from the proud organization of Florida State football.
That is true. And listen, the Seminole Tribe signs off on that at the very least. I don't like Florida State, but at the very least they do that. Have the Chiefs, have they talked to some of the many, many Native Americans that were forced off their land during the Trail of Tears in Missouri/Kansas?
I'm sure they've had, like, a photo op with someone wearing a headdress.
As 1% Mi'kmaq Indian, I am offended by this.
Are you 1% offended?
I'm not even sure if this is 1%. I think I'm more of a Native American than Elizabeth Warren, so at least I've got that going for me. Okay. So, I mean, that's what the Chiefs do all game long. It's obviously fun to be a Chiefs fan. They're going to keep on winning for the foreseeable future. Maybe in a post-Andy Reid world, if they win the Super Bowl, does Reid retire? Maybe they have a...
Hire Bill Belichick. Just hire Bill Belichick.
Oh, my God. I would be able to jump on the bandwagon. I would be able to jump on. I believe that allows me to, like, I wouldn't officially jump on, but I'd be a fan. I was a fan of the Bucks. I got a Bucks shirt now. It's a Tom Brady Bucks shirt. Oh, hi, Livy Dunn. More fight songs. The San Francisco 49ers have a fight song. This is from the 1980s.
We love the 49ers. Our team is number one. We cheers for Joe Montana and Freddy Solomon. And while the team is playing and lights are all aglow, just fight with Bartolo and shout the golden jump.
Bartolo went to jail. Pot it down. There's good production value here, but these lyrics are very hard to remember. It's very specific. It's 1980s related.
Yeah, I don't like that it's a very time and place thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's kind of like Paul Wall's How About Them Strohs, where he goes through each guy on the team, or most of the guys on the team, that's good for the 2022 World Series team. But I don't think that should be the Houston Astros fight song 40 years from now. I don't think he needs to be mentioning Hector Neris and Phil Maton 40 years from now in a song. I don't know. That's just me.
I remember way back when Lance McCullers threw for one inning in the playoffs, I think, and then that was it. And then he pitched until July.
Rafael Montero.
We got a couple of texts, I guess. The White Stripes are from Detroit. So, I mean...
This is disgusting.
Poor Detroit. They get rid
of... All of these stink, by the way.
Well, there's one more. This is the Detroit Lions fight song. Is this the winner?
By default, yes.
That will not yield.
Will not yield!
When the blue and silver... Cheer the brave.
Rah, rah, rah.
On with
I like this.
This is great.
Like, that's a crooner.
It's like the polka. Hell yeah! We are so on the Lions bandwagon. I don't think I could possibly be more on it, except for Sean, because he hates Aggies.
Yes. That my time on the...
Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn, too much
my
for
My time
you.
On the Detroit Lions bandwagon ended at 8:30 this morning.
That's a bummer.
I really do feel like I'm missing out.
I know. I wish we had the Men in Black like memory eraser so that we could get you back on. You are missing out. This is going to be fun
for
me.
If they make the Super Bowl, maybe I circle back because it won't be directly... at the expense of proud Texas Longhorn Kyle Shanahan, which, by the way...
You're going to have to look up who...
I can't wait for the next time Texas needs a football coach, and I go, Kyle Shanahan. Can't wait for that.
That is happening. That might be the end of Kyle Shanahan's career. That would be something else. He is Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN, 97.5, 92.5. You want to jump aboard, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. We told you... which fan base we'd have the easiest time buying into. But I have a question for Houston sports fans right now, and it has to do with a very interesting online discourse that has to do with the Houston Rockets. We're bought into the Texans. We're bought into the Astros. How much are we bought into both of those teams going forward, and how do the Rockets compare to those two? That question for you on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com on the Chase Long. I've got a Chase Long in my dressing room.